So, Patrick.
Yes, Michael.
Why have I not seen you on Twitter at all anymore? What's happened to you? Where have you been?
Well, I mean, I've been on Twitter. I've been using Twitter. I've been
not
tweeting
the same.
Things.
It's not the same. I mean, it's nice that we're getting lots of quotes. I'm enjoying the quotes, I must say. There's a lot of going into the quote book, which are always good. But you've definitely seemed to have changed your daily interaction and the way that you're using Twitter.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about sort of what you're doing and why?
Yeah, okay. So I guess what I'm doing is I'm trying for a while, and this actually might be the first of several kind of experiments. And I don't know how long they'll go. They might go indefinitely. essentially, the first experiment is seeing how it feels to use Twitter more as a microblog, as it were, where I'm sharing quotes and links and tips and interesting information and having less sort of status updates or the first thing that pops into my head, I think of tweeting it. Part of this is to hopefully improve the quality of what those who follow me are receiving from me. I guess part of it driven out of, so my friend James Shelley wrote this fantastic post about this very thing, called Is It Worth the Interruption? Where, you know, basically, you know, thinking, hey, you know, this is the sort of thing, social networking, Twitter specifically, you know, it's the sort of thing where, you know, it's kind of interrupting people from what they otherwise might be doing. And are you sharing things that are worth the interruption? You know, are you tweeting things that are worth interrupting people for? And to think about that before you share it and before you tweet it. And so I guess I'm taking that to heart and maybe going at it a little even more hardcore than most, and really trying to share things I really think are important to read or important to see or important in a way that I think may inspire you to do better work or to, you know, be more mindful about your day. And, so I guess that's one aspect of it. And the other aspect of it, too, is that I've been doing my best not to, when I do dip into Twitter, not to read backwards too far in the stream to quote unquote see what I've missed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying I've stopped doing so completely, but I've really made a conscious effort to try not to. And that has to do with my own seeing how it affects my own quote unquote fear of missing out, as well as, but seeing that, you know, not as like, okay, that, you know, you just need to get over this or whatever. But I mean, maybe there are some things that I am missing out on, and those will reveal themselves the more only if I do that, right? So only if I try this experiment do I actually see if it's worth having that fear. Because that fear might be a very valid fear. And I already can tell that there are certain conversations and certain things that I have missed out on what my friends are doing. You know, people I genuinely care about. Because right now, I've pretty much reduced my Twitter stream as far as I think I can reduce it right now.
How many are you following?
Oh, jeez. I know it's under 200. Let me put it that way.
Okay, under 200.
Let me say, I can give you the exact count. Okay, no, I'm wrong. I'm sorry, under 300.
264, you've got.
264 right now, yes. So I was wrong. But, you know, I mean, but that said, I really work hard on a regular basis. I mean, at least every other week, I kind of go through my, you know, the following, the folks I'm following and say, okay, and I ask questions about each and every person, you know, do I still need to follow this person? And, you know, am I getting value from what they're saying? And I mean, I really, really work hard at it. And so, yeah, I think I'm down to where I need to be right now. And yeah, I think there's certainly some conversation and some people's lives and what's happening in their lives that I'm feeling I'm missing out on since I've been doing that.
Let me share a couple of my thoughts.
Okay.
So I spoke about this in many places that one of my sort of prerequisites of a Twitter client is the ability to be able to load gaps in the timeline, because I like to read back. I always read back. I have a couple of reasons of that. I mean, yeah, I would say that the fear factor is one. You know, in case I have missed something, especially if it's something that, like a project, you know, our friends are always launching projects, and I'd hate to feel like I miss one. Yeah. You know, I love to support what everyone's doing. So, you know, I don't ever want to miss anything like that. I like reading the conversations between people. And also, you know, I think the main thing is I choose the 200 people I want to follow because I'm interested in what they have to say. So I want to read it in the same way that I would never miss something from your RSS feed. And then I want to challenge the whole idea of what you're tweeting at the moment. I want to play devil's advocate, right?
Okay.
You're saying about you're concerned about the quality of what's going out, but people follow you for the same reason they follow any other Twitter personality, because they're interested in what you have to say on a daily basis about things that interest you. They want to see things that random happenstances from your day, because a lot of Twitter is about voyeurism. So everyone that has followed you has chosen to follow you because of the things that you say. I don't think you need to be concerned about the quality of what you're putting into Twitter, because that makes you one of the only people that does. Because we're all just talking about the random things that we see and come across in a day, as well as sharing links. So, in a way, you could potentially be not giving your followers the quality and the content that they actually crave by restricting it.
Okay. All right. So essentially, are you arguing that? Well, okay. Let me come back and say one of the things that drove my decision to give this a try for a while was the amount of feedback that I would get on like a Follow Friday or whatever, you know, people like follow Patrick because, you know, he provides great, you know, tips and links and quotes and things like that.
Yeah.
In fact, when my friend Jane was on Dan Benjamin's show, she specifically, you know, called out me as someone who, you know, has a Twitter stream that if you looked at it, you would, you would see some of the status updates and conversations and stuff like that, but you would find a lot of great links there and a lot of great quotes and a lot of great, you know, food for thought and that sort of thing. And so, and I appreciate that. And I really, you know, and so I started thinking to myself, well, what if my stream was only that stuff?
But why does it need to be? Your stream is not your... I know that you're starting to treat it like that, but your stream is not practical opacity. It's not minimal Mac, your Twitter stream. You have them places to also share that stuff. And on Twitter, you will share things that you wouldn't necessarily share everywhere else. But you're also, in some senses, denying the other social aspect of Twitter.
Yes.
And
yes, I agree with you. You're absolutely right, and I'm doing it on purpose.
Okay. As long as you're aware of it. I just wanted to share my feelings on it. Because I've
I really appreciate that. And this great feedback, and this is the feedback I need to hear, you know. I've been trying to decide at what point I actually put that out on Twitter and say, hey, you know, at least link to something I wrote in a longer piece somewhere else, likely Practical Opacity, where I say, okay, I've been trying this Twitter experiment for a while. You know, how am I doing? What do you think? Do you like this? Do you not like it? Does there need to be a balance of the two? I don't know what that is. And so I'm trying to figure it out. And I'm trying to figure it out based upon, as well, the amount of time and attention that I want to devote to Twitter. Because a big part of this is that, you know, I've kind of got some other things going on right now, you know? And I found... and I should mention that another big kind of part of this experiment is that I'm trying to tweet from Twitter apps less and less, right? I'm trying to share more out of Reader, for instance, to Twitter, or from my birdhouse to Twitter, or sorry about the phone once again.
That's or Jack from, Dorsey calling you to complain.
Well, I mean, because the thing we've got to remember is that Twitter was invented. Jack Dorsey thought about Twitter based upon the status updates that couriers and taxi cabs and things like that would give.
Can you know, I mention
as to where they are and what they're doing?
You just reminded me of a fantastic interview that Kevin Rose did with him.
That was
Foundation. Good. I'll get you a link. That'll be in the show notes. Foundation is a really great podcast, and you can pay to get the shows for like in advance, or they're on revision free for free.
Yeah,
but they're really really good interviews, and the one he did with Jack Dorsey was great.
And Kevin Rose interviews all sorts of internet
startup entrepreneur people,
entrepreneur sort of folks, and that's what Foundation is, and it's always kind of a fascinating behind the scenes of things, because I think if because in that kind of context I also find it interesting, right? It's the what am I working on right now sort of thing. What am I doing right now, that you might have in some sort of team environment. 37 Signals has a feature of their app, their backpack application, that's called Journal. And basically what it is you post, this is what I'm working on right now, with the idea being that everyone who shares, who's sharing that backpack can see, he's working on this, he's working on that, he's working on this, he's working on that, and kind of know what's up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I find that absolutely fascinating, and actually a somewhat essential tool in a working environment for sure, because at least then you kind of know, right now he's working on that thing that I need to do my next thing, so I need to work on something else. You know what I mean? Bottom line is that I appreciate your feedback, and I would love to have more feedback like it.
Maybe you should do like a Google Docs questionnaire or something.
Yeah.
And things.
Because and I will mention, you asked the why am I doing it?
Yeah.
The big why that I haven't discussed yet is that part of this is testing out ideas for the book I'm writing now.
I thought that might be part of it.
Because I can't write about these things, I can't suggest some of these things unless I've actually done some of these things, right? And experienced them and know the benefits and the trade-offs.
Yeah. That's interesting. So is there anything more to the experiment at the moment?
No, not at the moment. There are some other things that I would love to do experiment-wise, but I'm working up the courage. Everett Bogue had some, I don't know if he's actually posted this online. Most of the stuff he writes now goes into his paid newsletter, which is fantastic, that I really enjoy getting in my email inbox, and I think others would as well. But I've always been fascinated with him and some of the things he does. But he has some interesting experiments that he's tried. For instance, for a while, he only followed... he did an experiment that he called the Firefly Experiment. Any, you know, sci-fi geeks are, you know, basically aware of the Firefly, Joss Whedon's Firefly television series and movie. But basically, he chose people based upon what characters in Firefly they might best fit on the ship Serenity. So that limited him to 8 people, right? And so for a time, I was one of those 8 people. I'm like, okay, I'm dying to know which of the 8 people. I asked him, he basically ignored the question. But you know, I found that interesting. You know, he obviously saw me as a good fit for one of the characters, right?
Yeah.
You know, maybe it was the preacher, or maybe it was the captain. I don't know. You know, but I just, once again, very interesting experiment. Another experiment that he has tried was, you know, using the Dunbar's number, which we've discussed on another episode, either before this one or upcoming. It'll be one of the two, because we record these all in batches. But using Dunbar's number, limiting it to 150, he unfollowed everyone he was following and followed a completely different set of 150 people.
That's weird. People he didn't know.
People maybe he wanted to get to know better. But the idea being was, how would that change Twitter for him? You know, was I guess kind of the test. By doing these experiments, he wanted to try to push the boundaries of what Twitter meant and how it would change and how his relationship to it would change and things like that, right? And I find these questions not only interesting to ask, but important to ask. Because if we don't know the answers to some of these questions, how can we know both how to approach what we have and, more importantly, what it means to us? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess I'm trying to ask some of those same questions. What does Twitter mean to me, and how do I wish to approach it in a way that is sensible and sane?
Right.
Because up until now, I can't say for sure that I have been, because I haven't ever really taken the time to approach it differently.
Yeah.
So you know, I think the takeaway here for folks is, maybe you want to try some experiments. Maybe you want to say, okay, for the next week, I'm only going to tweet to Twitter from apps that can tweet to Twitter that are not Twitter apps. You know, for instance, so like Reader and Birdhouse and Quotebook, and
so it keeps you out of there.
Yeah, basically things that keep you out of your stream. Or maybe you want to try an experiment where you're like, okay, I'm not going to read backwards in my stream for 2 days and see how that feels and see what I miss and, you know, if I miss anything at all. Because what you may find, and everyone's stream is going to be different, everyone's feeling about this is going to be different. You may find that you really didn't miss anything at all. So guess what you now know? You now know that it's okay not to you don't need to feel compelled to spend the time to read back and see what you missed. Or maybe you'll find the complete opposite. Maybe you'll find that it's absolutely essential to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Another idea, limit the times and hours that you actually do that. So say that, you know, okay, I'm only going to check Twitter once in the morning between this time and this time, and what once at night between this time and this time. And I'm going to use that time to read back through my stream, to reply to at replies, to reply to DMs, but otherwise I'm going to completely ignore Twitter so that I can get real work done. Or Facebook, or insert your favorite social media application that's sucking up all your time here.
I thought you meant I can get real Facebook done. I think you're missing the point. I've got to avoid Twitter so I can go get my Facebook work.
No, I didn't mean that. I'm sorry if I said that. Yeah, so I guess you get the idea.
Well, I hope that you come, you know, that on another episode you can give us an idea as to how it's going along.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And I really hope. So I'm at Patrick Rohn, at PatrickRhone, like the river in France, on Twitter. And I would really love feedback. How's it going? Have you been enjoying my stream for the past couple of weeks? Because have you even noticed that it's changed? I mean, things like that. Because I do think, ultimately, I think, Mike, you're right. There's a balance.
Yeah.
I just need to find what that balance is.
Yeah, makes sense.
So.
Well, it's been a good discussion again, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And same with you. I love talking about this stuff, so. But hey, you know, we'll talk more later.
We will. Cheers.
All right, cheers.